Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
You read the comic.
I have not, but I kind of want to only just see if it's better than the show.
Okay, so what I've been able to figure out, because I was able to get through my the comic through the Hoopla app, which is through the library, and they've got the whole series. Now, the series starts out with Jupiter's Circle, and then there's, what do they say, 12 issues of that. And then it goes, so that's two volumes, and then it goes to Jupiter's Legacy, which is 10 issues, and that's two volumes. Like, apparently when the show got announced, Netflix came out with a new, updated cover version that Frank quietly drew. And, I mean, it's Frank Quietly, so the art is his art. You can definitely tell him apart. But I've read the first volume. I was hoping to have it all read before we started doing this recording, but I had to mow the grass today, and I had to take my daughter to go get a dress for her 8th grade graduation on Monday.
Aww.
So I didn't have time to actually read.
We've all been there.
Yeah, exactly. we've all had our daughters graduate 8th grade. It sucks. From what I read, I've liked it. Now, my understanding is, and I heard this on a different podcast, that and for all you, everybody listening, if you haven't figured it out yet, we're covering Jupiter's Legacy. I'm your host, Joe. With me today is first-time guest, Tony.
Hello, guys.
He is one of my fellow co-hosts of the Ranger Alliance. He also is a co-host of Not a Robot podcast, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. I kept forgetting. I'm like, I know, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Maybe it's not what it is. Crap. Sorry. But from what I heard from a different podcast is that the show basically covers like the second volume, which would be the Jupiter's Legacy run. But after reading the first volume of Jupiter's Circle and watching the show, they definitely pulled stuff from there, because the Circle is
a past stuff.
It's when the team was fresh. So right when the team was formed, it doesn't show, you know, like in the show, they've got the 1929 timeline or the 1920s timeline and then the present timeline.
Mm-hmm.
In Jupiter Circle, it's just the past, and it's them going forward from that point. So I was really interested. I wanted to get through that, and then I'm pretty sure Legacy will jump, you know, forward to the present day, which at that point, I think it was written in 2010. I'm not 100% sure. I don't feel like looking it up because I'm not covering the comic, covering the show. So, you know, you got 80 years, 70 years of time jump, and it's covering the kids and then second generation kind of thing.
Yeah.
Similar to what the show did. And, real quick, Tony, high-level thoughts of the show. What did you think?
I think it would not survive week – my opinion would not survive week to week. This is a show you kind of binge, because I feel like week to week it would not have enough interest. It's like, I want to watch that again. But I'm like, you know what? I was like, sure, why not? I'll watch the next episode. Didn't really care. But I do wish they stuck more with the comics where – we got first season or, you know, a movie style of just all of the past and then the future. Because
the present.
Because I care more about the past than I did about the future. I'm like,
yes.
Why do I not care about any of you guys?
Well, it's not that you it's not that I didn't care about the future. It was one of those things where the story that the future was giving was very – not mundane, but almost predictable.
Yes.
Which is ironic, considering that, you know, when I was right there with you, I liked the past story. I was more invested in that than I was in the future. Maybe because, and we'll get political here for a second. It's the old guard versus the new guard. Now, the old guard is, you know, we can't kill, like, we're superheroes. We have to have a higher, better example. The new generation, new guard, it's not that they're still living up to the old guard's rules, but then there was one mistake that happened with the, you know, the utopian who is the big boss, the big guy, the Superman archetype. His kid accidentally kills a supervillain, and that just sparks a, oh, well, why are we still listening to the old ways? This new ways is working better. Now they're fearing us. So it and maybe that's why I wasn't too thrilled by it. Don't get me wrong. I did like the show. But it wasn't the present storyline that kept me coming back. It was Sheldon, the main character, played by Josh Duhamel, and seeing him try to keep his sanity and not keeping his sanity, like that drew me in more. What was your take on that? You said you liked the past more. Was there anything in particular that sucked you in for that storyline?
Definitely the whole Josh Duhamel, I want to know, like, how he got the powers. Now I want to know more about it. The whole adventure is what intrigued me. Like, if that was a whole season, I would be down for that.
But I also don't think if they had just done that, I don't think they would have been able to get people to come back for a second season. Like, if so, say you split up the past and that's season one,
mm-hmm.
very compelling, very awesome. And then you take the present, and make that season two. In my eyes, that is similar to. Did you ever see Westworld? Did you ever watch that?
No, everyone tells me that I gotta watch it. I've heard a lot of high reviews from that.
I liked the show.
Mm-hmm.
The first season, when it first was airing, it was one of those. Everybody was talking about it week to week. I waited, and I there was like five episodes in, and then I binged those five episodes, and then I was like, I'm hooked. I was there week to week. Second season is coming out, and people are excited for the second season to start, and then it just drops. No one's talking about season two. And I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign. I didn't watch it because at the time, I think the girlfriend and I, we had just gotten rid of HBO on the main, on the cable, and so we were between that and then getting HBO Max. Well, then by the time we got HBO Max, that's when quarantine happened and season three was starting to come out on HBO Max. So I binged season two and then watched season three week to week. Season one was amazing. The past of this, Jupiter's Legacy, was amazing. Kept me sucked in, kept me coming, wanting to come back.
Yes.
Season two was rougher. They were still and I don't want to give too much away because I do think you should watch it. They were still in Westworld, but it had a touch of something else that – do you know the premise of – I'm going to say this right now. Spoilers alert. Spoiler alert if, for anybody who hasn't seen it. Do you know the premise of Westworld?
No clue at all.
Then in my mind,
it sounds like something from like a Western. Just sounds like a cowboy show for some reason.
It is definitely a Western. So season two, they're in the Western thing, but then they have elements of something else coming in. And that kind of, I'm not going to say that was bad, but it definitely kind of went in a little flux. And then by season three, it was off the rails, completely different, but still calling it Westworld. This one, I think if they were to do just a season of the present, they would have to spruce up the characters, maybe the dialogue. Like the characters weren't compelling to me. Like the kids, they were not. I'm not saying they were crap, but they definitely could have been better. Like, you know, Brandon and Chloe were just annoying. Chloe has some problems, obviously, drug problems.
Yes. I want to know more about it, but we didn't learn much about it at all. I'm like, right from the first scene with her, I'm like, she can be a main character. And I'll know, like, okay, when do I see
her? She was a main character. She was the main character. And like, we were talking last night on SCS, and Clay said something about the daughter, and I'm like thinking, oh crap, what was her name? Like, I remember Brandon, because he was.
Yeah.
He's the main character. He's the one that kills Black Star.
Mm-hmm.
Was that his name? Black Star?
Yeah, Black Star. The clone of Black Star.
Yes. Kills the clone Black Star, and that's what sparked everything going forward. But Chloe, like, fuck, I don't remember her name. I don't remember her name.
We see her later on. Exactly. Well, we see her later on, but not much in the beginning.
You see her in when she comes into the first episode.
For dinner.
Comes home for a dinner. Now we have the creepy. did you by chance see the uncle?
Right from the get go, I'm like, someone's fishy about you.
Creepy smile when he said, "Oh yeah, I saw you on that cover," and she's like, "Oh, thank you, Uncle Ben," or whatever the hell his name was, Uncle Walt.
Walter.
Yeah. Like that right was. From there, why I you give me that creepy smile? Why?
I think it's slightly foreshadowing. Slightly foreshadowing for the
kind ending. Of is. Yes. Well, and then
because all throughout the show, I'm like, is he really bad? Maybe not.
Well, and because I was invested in the past story and him being very not against Sheldon, but very like, you are fucking me over. You and Dad are screwing me so hard. Mm-hmm. Like I'm barely keeping above water here, and you guys are not trying. And then obviously, once the dad commits suicide, it became Sheldon. You know, went completely psycho, was in a mental institute and passed out in a coma, and Walter's there having to keep everything afloat, and then he can't. You know, it ends up losing the business.
So at that point, you feel bad for Walter, mm-hmm. So you're slowly on his side.
But that's the thing. In the past, you are definitely like, you can feel for Walter because he's doing mm-hmm. everything he can. He's doing his best. And they even during the seventh episode, they have that little showdown on that island of like, you know, you're dad's favorite. No matter anything you did, everybody just dropped everything and helped you out. Like, we're here on this damn island. We have no idea what we're doing, and everybody's fine. But you can't just listen to me. Like when I said that we should not have sold the company and that we lost everything. Like, he has so much resentment for Sheldon. And Daniels does an amazing job portraying it.
Yes.
Does an amazing job. And it was one of those things where you see him as older, and I wasn't paying as much attention to him there because of the main, and that's to the storyline's credit. You're focused on the relationship between Sheldon and Brandon. And then Sheldon and just everybody that you just kind of overlook what Walter's doing. He's a background character for a lot of the show.
Yeah.
Until the end when it's revealed, no, he's not a background character. He's the antagonist.
Yeah, which like,
that was,
wow. The only reason why I watched season two is because of that ending. That's the only reason, like, you didn't do much for the story except the last few minutes. All the other
episodes. The last two episodes, because the episode seven was them on the island in the mm-hmm. past, finding their powers and the island itself basically being an obstacle and a maze. Because then, you know, with that, you've got, and that's in the past. In the present, they're trying to figure out what's going on with Black Star and how Sky Fox, one of their old compatriots, an old hero, is and now turned antagonist, is fucking George, with right? them. Yep, George. George.
His brother.
Who cares about his name? Hutchins. Which played by Matt Lanter. Whew, man, I love that guy.
Now, was he the brother? What was his correlation
to them? Walter was the brother. George was Sheldon's best
friend. Just a friend? Okay.
Another rich society guy that, you know, was just there and they grew up together and just what it is. And so George becomes the bad guy and they're trying to figure out. And that's another story I would like to see play out, why yes. he became the bad guy. So that definitely will drag me for a season two. Like that has me in there. Wondering why Walter's doing what he's doing. You got me there. And I can. Yes. Sorry. So what did you think when, I know we're jumping around here a little bit. First episode, Brandon kills Blackstar. What was your reaction?
Like, okay, well, no offense, because we've seen this so many times by now in the movies, TV shows. Like, okay, just another hero, another bad guy. I guess I was a bit annoyed with
After the beginning episode or beginning of the episode when, you know, they're playing around. What Grace uses her powers against the other kid because they were whatever. And then the Utopian comes in and it's like, all right, we can't use our powers to hurt people. So like you have that drilled into your head that these guys, like there is a code that the heroes have to follow. Then circle around to at the very end of the episode and Brandon kills Blackstar. Now this is also after what, three or four of their friends have been killed by Blackstar.
Yes.
So
wow.
Plus he made the decision. He's like, oh, go ahead.
I didn't think he like Utopia would be like that much of a psycho, but you know what? You're seeing people being killed. I thought he'd give them easy pass, but no, like I did not think he'd be that much of a trigger. Mm-hmm. Like he was all uptight. Like, dang, that's your son too, man.
But then, you know, we find out later on when he's talking to his therapist archenemy that you know, which was fun to see. That, you know, he has this code because in a way it's for everybody to remember him. He wants to be remembered, which everybody wants to be remembered.
Yeah.
That's why we're making podcasts so that, yeah, people may not listen, but guess what? I can show my kid will have my voice for the rest of her life if she wants to listen to it. I don't think she will, but, you know, it's there. She has access to it, maybe. it's on my hard drive so that she can, if she ever wants to, it's there. But
no goes out to listen to two episodes a day.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. Well, then again, I do.
You can F three episodes.
But like he wants the whole root point of the code and why he's such a stickler for it is because this is a way for everybody to remember him. This was a way. And mind you, back in the 30s, 20s and 30s, those rules, that code made sense because the villains had like there was no other superpowered villains at the time. So it was just random like pickpocketers and bank robbers, like stuff like that. Versus now where supervillains are with powers and everything.
Like adapt with a change. Like also like back then, like life was more like black and white, but nowadays as like time goes on, you see more of the gray area.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's more of the, like you said, you have to adapt with the times. What movie was it? I can't remember the movie, but they make the comment of, you know, we hit them with a hammer, they come at us with a gun. I'm messing up the line, but it's like,
yeah, I know everything about too.
We have a gun, they have a rifle. We get a bazooka, they come out at us with a tank. Like it's just you just keep escalating to escalate. That might be a Batman
thing. TV show. Might
be Batman Begins.
Is it?
That's starting to sound familiar now.
It does. Again, I'm trying to think.
I don't know. but that's the thing. Like you know, the cops have that's, I, you know what? I think it was Batman Begins, because it's like cops have bulletproof vests. The bad guys will have, or they get Kevlar armor. The bad guys will have, you know, Kevlar piercing rounds. Like it just, it escalates and goes back
and forth. Yes. Now I remember.
And it just, it makes sense that no matter what, the times are going to keep moving on, and you can't stick in the mentality of the past. And that's what Sheldon, the Utopian, could not get, you know, through his head. You know, Grace kept on trying there in the show. He kept trying to convince him, hey, we kind of have to let them do their own thing. But he wouldn't relent. You know, Grace, played by Leslie Bibb, who, amazing job. Love her. She's awesome. Then we also have, Fitz, played by Mike Wade. I thought he did a really good job. I didn't realize at first that he was one of the guys that worked with worked for Sheldon in the whatever textile
mill,
whatever
the hell.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at first. So you remember the two
Willie was one of them.
Willie and Fitz.
Yeah. Oh, really? Wow.
Fitz is Willie's son. And then in the future, Sheldon sees him in his vision. So he goes to their house to ask for Fitz to come along. And I didn't realize that Fitz was the guy in the wheelchair.
Wow, he aged well.
Present. Well, they all kind of aged not much. Because even when we see Sheldon as in the very beginning with Brandon and Chloe as kids, like he's got a beard, but it's like brown with white. And then mm-hmm. like what, 20 years later, now he's got the very long hair.
Oh, Santa.
A little bit. Yeah, exactly. Only not the beer gut or milk and cookies gut. Sorry. But yeah, no, this was, I really liked it. I was impressed. I'm not going to say it was like a runaway hit, but I mean, as of right now, let's do a double check. Last time I looked, it was still like third on the Netflix top 10. But that was also a couple days ago. It's still in the top 10. Where is the top? There it is. It is. Oh, it's dropped. So it's number 8 currently. This is as of Saturday, May 22nd.
Wow, because you don't see people talking about it on Twitter as well. You see like nobody talking about this.
Well, because it came out 2 weeks ago. So like everybody was talking about it when it came out. But now Army of the Dead, just came out as well. And that,
when did that come out? One.
Army of the Dead just came out yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Holy wow.
Have you not watched it yet?
No, I don't.
We're talking about. Oh, that's true. That's right. You said that.
Honestly, yeah, I'll
listen. If you haven't yet, listen to Squadcast Films. They
did it.
Squadcast Movies, I should say. Yeah, it's on the main feed. They Scott and Tim went and saw it in theaters last week, and so they dropped the episode Monday, and I held on to it till after I watched it yesterday. So they did actually do a really good. Really good coverage of it. So
I still probably watch that one. I'll listen to that one. Geekverse and Katie's probably going to do one too, I'm guessing.
Yes, we're doing that tomorrow. I'm going to try and hop on there or today when you're listening to this. I'm going to try and hop on there and give my 2 cents. I liked it. Yep. I know Clay.
I saw him.
I'll give Clay.
Wasn't that Mortal Kombat?
Look, I like Mortal Kombat. Fuck you, Clay.
I mean, I've heard some good things about it, too. My neighbor down the street said that it had action. That's all he cared about.
I had some issues with it, but I like Dave Bautista. His acting here, the action scenes were great. I thought that, and so this is for people who won't listen to that, this is a little bonus. Won't listen to Slice of Film. I thought his acting when he was doing like the personal stuff wasn't as strong, but I was watching it at work, so I couldn't actually watch it. Like I could watch a lot of it, but I had to do my job. So I'm going to try and watch it again before we do the main review tomorrow. Yeah, is what it is. So back to Jupiter's Legacy. Eight episodes long. I think it was, that was a good length. Like it was,
yeah, like some were half an hour, some were about 45, which I was a bit surprised by like the, yeah. 32 minute, 36, like, wow. Okay.
Well, and that's when Mandalorian came out and their episodes were 30 ish minutes to 45 minutes. It was one of those things like, okay, why are they so short? But when you get down to it and they're literally telling you the story for that time, for that episode, in as much time as they need. Like, they could go an hour long, but then you're going to have 15 minutes of filler, of bullshit dialogue that doesn't need to be there.
I think it needed it. I think it needed it in this show, only because introduce me to the whole world. Show me the heroes. Show me, like, why should I like this guy? Because there's a whole bunch of other heroes that we saw that I want. Tell me more about this group of heroes. Like the guy that can teleport, like, the son of George.
Mm-hmm. Hutch. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and ironically, I don't know if you picked up on it, but that device was at the end, it was Blue Bolt's device. What was his name? David? Oops, that's not the one I want. The guy they picked up in the past, in the sea that they, you know, was on the boat that or that they were able to grab out of the sea and got onto the boat. That's the actor. Richard Conrad was the character name. Blue Bolt. He was there and he had that device. So that was one of his things. So what I'm interested in seeing is Hutch says that the device isn't powered just by anybody. It's keyed to him personally. So my thought is George or Sky Fox did something, killed Blue Bolt, and was able to key that device to his son. And that's probably why he became, or one of the things of why he became a bad guy. That's my assumption. Whenever we get a season two, we'll find out. But that's what I'm playing at the moment. That's my my theory.
See, I want to, maybe secretly, he's actually not George's son.
Oh, that's, you think so?
Yeah. If it could go with the tropes saying how, not Hutch, Richard was sleeping with maybe George's like wife or girlfriend. Somehow they could go with that trope.
So I doubt that, only because he's gay. I don't know if you picked up on that.
No.
So he says that, you know, in the crew he was with before, mm-hmm. it was a rescue mission that he was on, or he was a doctor on like a mission trip. But he was there because of a particular person, and he says it like he does the pause in between, so you can pick up on it. Because it's the 20s and 30s, that's definitely one of those frowned upon things.
Yeah.
And this is actually true to form to the comic, because in the comic, Blue Bolt, like, he tried to pretend he was heterosexual, but it got found out that he was gay, and it was going to get, he was basically being blackmailed to get information to then give to the then FBI about the other members of the team. And he's like, no, I'm not going to give up my team. And so he told his team members, hey, I'm gay. And they're like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever, no big deal.
Oh, wow.
It was very subtle. Very subtle.
It was.
I picked up on it real quick. Obviously, you did not. So him being Richard's son might not be a thing.
No, then never mind then. It's possible, but it's like
probably not. No, my assumption would be like he killed he probably killed Richard, George did, and then because it probably got keyed to his DNA, well, his son would be his DNA, so he can use it as well. That'd be my guess. Again, I don't know. We won't know, obviously, with this season.
Now, whenever Hutch was trying to find his dad, it went to a different strip club.
Yep.
Any guesses on why?
I've got my one guess is that he's trapped in time. Because otherwise, like if he was dead, Hutch would just go to his dead body.
Yeah.
So my guess is he might just be like trapped in time. And or it could be that he purposely keyed it to be like, yeah, you can never find me. And I'm gonna here's a fun little you're gonna go to the strip club every time. You have any thoughts, any ideas?
I hope it's not just nothing. I'm hoping that it actually has some sort of meaning behind it. I do like the idea of like how you're saying it's like traveling through time. Like I hope it's something, not just nothing.
Yeah, I bring that up because what he's building, he's trying to find all these pieces because he wants to find his dad. What he's building almost looks time machine-esque, and I say that because the picture he has of his dad that's hanging up on whatever device is from a news article from like the 30s. If his dad, if he had a picture of his dad, you would assume he'd have a picture of him in like the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
You know, a more somewhat updated picture. This was a picture of George in his spiffy suit, high profile. So I'm assuming he's building a time machine. That'd be my guess. Or it's a machine that will help amplify the power to where the power is stronger and he could key into finding his dad more. I don't know.
See, that was one character that I was really interesting to know about. So I was glad to see him on the screen. But then like...
the episode when... and it's kind of a dual episode. Because we get one episode with Hutch and him being, trying to do a job for the big guy and kind of failing miserably. But then we get a joining episode with Chloe and what was going on with her that same day. What do you think when that kind of collided there in the street with Chloe in the van and Hutch?
For a quick second, I didn't see it was Chloe. So I'm like, oh, gotcha, it's Chloe. So that's why
she's
in the hood. But then I do like how both of the episodes and like both of the scenes though were same, but yet the like how they came were a little bit different because like some of the aggression was a bit different. I'm like, okay, so whose point of view is it the truthful?
Well, they both were. I mean, it's the same.
Wasn't a little bit different though?
Chloe- again, I watched this at work. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think so, but I may have missed something.
I thought one of them got more like physical or, the guy on the ground with the blonde hair, she just attacked him for no reason. And like from their point of view, but then later when we see Chloe, they attacked her first.
Well, okay. Interesting. Cause I could have sworn that as soon as they hit Chloe, like the van spun out.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, the blonde haired kid got out, and I thought it was Chloe like came after him first from their point of view. And then like broke his arm or something. No, his arm was already broken because of the job. Or shot through or something. And she did something to him to like toss him aside. And then the one girl, Gabrielle or whatever, those two are important. They're only in there for like two episodes, three episodes maybe. She comes out, attacks Chloe. Chloe's like, the fuck? And like punches her to the moon. And then the girlfriend comes out and goes chases after her. Because then I think when that comes back around in Chloe's episode, they just speed through that because we'd already seen it technically. Yeah. So they just showed you like quick highlights of what was going on. I thought, again, watch this at work. Huh. I probably missed something.
Yeah, maybe I have to go back too because I thought they may have twisted it because we can get from the different point of view. You might see how she had they see it. Could be a different misunderstanding.
Possibly. Very possibly. And then after this is when Chloe and Hutch kind of start a relationship. Now, Chloe did recognize Hutch immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have to be obviously because, you know, they grew probably grew up together being in the same superhero community. And before Chloe kind of went psycho is not the right word, but before she went not caring.
She kind of reminds me a bit of like Jessica Jones before she was an adult, like when she like college life, yeah, doing like drugs, hooking up, a little bit iffy with her life choices.
Well, yeah, I did. So the one guy that hits on her and, like at the bar, and is all there, he's all into her, and you know, no big deal, but I think Nick of Time, whatever the hell his name was, dumbass name. And then, like, she finds out he's got powers, and it's like, okay, so I am kind of attracted to you now. You're not just some guy that is following me around for no dumbass reason. Until they get to, like, the next day, and he's like, hey, so, you know, if you see your dad, can you put in a good word for me? That'd be great. And she's like, okay, so first thing you're going to need to do, you know, he's going to ask if you can take a punch. He's like, well, yeah. And then she punched him through the wall. Like, I love that. That was a great
thing. Oh, man. I saw it. As soon as she got her face, like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Deck him. You're so going to deck
him. Well, like, and it's one of those things where as much as the present storyline didn't interest me, there were still some good moments.
Yes.
But the problem was, and I mean, I've said this before, the past line, it just did me more. Like, I was, yeah, I don't need to see it because I know what happens. They get the powers. I know what point A, that point A gets to point B. But just like watching Revenge of the Sith, I want to see how Anakin kills all the younglings. I want to see that. I don't care that I don't need to see it. I want to see it.
I mean, just the storytelling, the actors did a great job. But just like,
they actually, yeah, they all did interest, a really good job.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, the whole, like, even if you got more stuff of, like, of Sheldon being a psycho before, even, or later on the boat, I'm not of mind that. But again, with the future, I feel as if they could have got a little bit more extra minutes in each episode to at least get my interest in something. Because, like, yeah, some bits were good, but others, like, majority of it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Wow, we haven't got that much far at all from episode 1 to episode 8.
Really? Yeah, because I think in probably in that time, it was like 7 days, maybe 8 days from the moment that Brandon kills Blackstar to them at the
reveal. Supermax.
To the end, which let's go ahead and talk about that a little bit. It gets revealed. So at one point in time, Fitz, along with his daughter, is able to, during the autopsy, they find a metal ball that's in this Black Star clone. And in there is the watch that Sheldon, it was their dad, Sheldon Walt's dad's watch that was buried with their dad at his funeral, that Sheldon then dug up because of his visions. And once they find the watch, they go to Sheldon, and sure enough, he's got the watch, and then they have this copy of the watch, exact same, which leads them to think it's Sky Fox. Like, it's George doing some weird bullshit to try to get back at them.
Which actually wasn't more of Wall. Wasn't he the one that mainly suggested it? Like edging out. Oh, I think it's George. This is his stuff. I know it.
Well, see, and I need to. I do at some point in time, maybe in the future, want to go back and rewatch it, probably before season two. And now that I know, I could, you know, look out for that stuff. I would say I will do it soon, but I have to watch all of MODOK so that we can cover that next week.
I mean, it's only 10 episodes, like half an hour.
Sure, but I'm actually having fun with it. So, and then plus whatever I got other comics to read and other movies to watch for the show. So I won't be able to actually rewatch it until season two pops up, which whenever that will be. But then we get the reveal that it wasn't actually Scott Fox and it was Brainwave all along because he's basically finally fed up with Sheldon and all of his rules. Which is very interesting because he brings in his daughter, who is also a very talented, empath isn't the right word, but has like very, mental abilities, telekinetic abilities or something like that. To the point where as soon as what they're doing is done, as soon as they go into Black Star and come back out, then we get the reveal that this was his plan all along. He cloned Black Star. He did this to try and push this new order, and he's the villain. And then he kills his daughter, which, damn, dude.
It was a bit confusing. Like, the whole death was like, wait, what's happening?
Huh? Well, because that scene, it was a parallel scene of him with his daughter and then him with Sheldon. This is Walter with both. I thought it was like him in the mind, we'll call it a mind palace, doing all this. But I think, thinking back on that, I think he had already taken care of his daughter and then came back and was having the talk with Sheldon. So they were just replaying what he had already did. Honestly, either one's plausible, but
it was because like that part was just a bit confusing, as you're saying, like how like too much of a parallel. I wish they made the scenes a little bit more different in some way with lighting or something. Because like, oh, this takes place then, this takes place there.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't. That is one of their faults. And hopefully, I mean, it's a show for Netflix. It was announced, I think, last year. I didn't watch the trailer when it came out. I knew I was just going to check it out. This was before I even decided to do these small screen rundowns that I'm doing. This helped Ron and I put this in place of if it's did we say 13 or 16? I think we said 13 episodes or less, we're going to cover it at some point in time. This 8 episodes falls under that mandate. So, and they weren't bad. And I wasn't going to ask him if he was going to watch it. I asked enough of him with movies and comics. So he may have watched it. I'll see him tomorrow. We'll figure it out. If he did, he did. If not, hey, Ron, if you listen to this, go watch it.
I mean, it's definitely one that like overall, it's okay, but it has parts that will bring you back, like mainly the past and just some stuff in the present.
They definitely need to tighten up some of the story. Overall, it wasn't bad. The past kept me engaged. The future, the present storyline, I was intrigued enough to obviously keep watching. And then by the end, when the breakout at the Supermax of the prison kind of starts to happen, I'm like, okay, I see what's going to happen. I see what's going on. I see the pathway that's going. Let's see how it executes. And then they get the reveal at the end that Brainwave was the villain all along. It does have me intrigued enough to go back and see if there was a lot of hints
that we didn't say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Like, the main reason why I want season two is maybe I can finally know more about all the heroes that I, because
yeah, I was going to ask, what's your prediction? Well, like all the heroes of the team, or just all the heroes in the world?
Both. I hope for season two, we get like in the past of the team forming, and as it ends in the season of them breaking apart, and then in the present of just a whole, the world of the heroes and the bad guys. Show me more of the people, and don't just show me like a little bit clip. Actually show me, get me interested in it. Get me invested in said character.
Well, it's gonna be interesting to see them, what's gonna happen moving forward, because you know, at the very end, Brandon does overcome his quote unquote demons. He has the opportunity to kill Blackstar again, but he doesn't. That being said, though, Sheldon is still concerned that he is going down, Brandon's going down the path that George went of not really being good, and he's already lingering. Now, what Brandon did basically sparked the other current heroes in New Generation of like, look, he's going to kill me. I can't just bring him in. Like I'm just going to kill him. I got to kill him. I got to. So much so that one of the girls, I can't, Juno or Luna, I can't remember her name. She was like, you know, I'm sticking to the code. I have to stick to the code because this is important. And she dies because of it, and dies in Grace's arms, basically. And she's already on the fence of what's going on. And she's like, I'm going to stick to the code. I definitely don't want to. This innocent girl, yeah, she's a superhero, but she didn't do anything wrong. She's been the one that stuck with us the longest for this code. She just died because of this code. I could easily put this bad guy down, but I won't. And she's struggling throughout the whole show. And you see that.
Definitely. Season two, low-key, either Grace or Chloe will join Walter. Brandon will probably stay with the father, but I think the twist for season two will be either the daughter or the wife.
Well, and Chloe is already kind of, not saying she has turned bad, but Hutch goes to steal another piece for his thing, and she bursts right in and helps him steal it. So she's already on the pathway of not being evil, but definitely not being 100% good. So I could definitely see Chloe maybe be easier to turn that around. I don't think Grace will drop. I don't think she will go to the dark side, metaphorically. But I could definitely see Chloe teasing that line. Maybe even like going so far as to go over the line, but then know she's in the wrong and come back. But I definitely see her, if she sticks with Hutch, definitely see her being a bad guy-ish.
So you see Hutch leaning her towards the bad side?
Maybe see, not I can see leaning, Hutch being, I can see
like the Jason Todd.
Well, and he straight up killed two guys. He killed the big guy, the big man, and what he was calling not Linus, but the other one, Lucy, the henchman guys. Like, he straight up just murdered those two. So I'm not saying he's a good guy, but the Jason Todd analogy is a good analogy, because Jason Todd will get the job done regardless, but he's not going to kill just to kill.
Yeah, I think that's what Walter kind of wants the leaning towards. I think we're going to see a darker side of Walter, especially now that we see his powers fully come out.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with you on that one. Other than that, I agree with what you're thinking for season two. I'm hoping we'll get more. I really hope we'll see what happened with George and why he became the antagonist.
Because if that came out of nowhere, I'm like, wait, what? Okay. Can you see that? I'm like, oh, wait, we're not seeing that. Crap. Okay.
Well, it makes sense, because we don't see Richard. We don't see Blue Bolt. We don't see George in the present. We see, you know, we see Sheldon. We see Grace. We see Walter. We see Fitz. That's 4 of the 6. And like I said, you know, Richard's missing, probably dead because Hutch has that device that he had. And we know George is a bad guy and he's in the wind. So
Do you think George killed Richard?
I'm thinking George killed Richard. That's my assumption. And I think we will see that. Maybe not. Maybe I'm pulling out of left field. But that's my prediction. That's what I hope we see in season 2.
Now, when they were in Star Fox's mind,
Black Bolt, Black Star.
Yeah, but think Black Star's mind. They had a version of Star Fox. Like, it was an illusion. But things like, oh, you guys turn on me. If that is legit true, do you think maybe do you think Walter maybe manipulated the team to kick him out?
Maybe Walter even manipulated Sky Fox to become this. And it might have been his beginnings of trying to change Sheldon, but it didn't work out. It backfired, and he had to wait X number of years again to until he could try something again. I do know from what little I've read of the comics, if I remember it correctly, now I'm second guessing myself, but I'm pretty sure that George is the only one that wears a helmet. Brainwave in the older times, he does have a mask, like a little domino mask, because Walter doesn't want people to realize it's him. Whereas Sheldon and Grace, just there, nothing. I think Richard has a mask. In the comics, Richard has a mask. I can't remember if he did in the show. I feel like Fitz did as well, but I'm not 100% sure. But from my understanding, George's helmet is similar to Magneto's, you know, with Xavier, where he can't read his mind.
Oh,
the helmet. So if that's the case, then no, Brainwave could not manipulate Sky Fox when he has the helmet on.
Well, not manipulate in mind, but maybe like set things in motion, like physically, yeah, and somehow nudging it. Because it sounds like Walter has been jealous of the relationship between George and Sheldon for a long time now.
Yes. Yeah, so I can definitely see I could definitely see that being a possibility. But who knows? Who knows? Here's a bad thing, and I think we won't know for another week or two. At the time of our recording, at the time this actually goes live on the podcast feed, it'll be like another week or two before we get Netflix will see and even announce the possibility of a sequel or a second season. From what I understand, it's like a month or something like that is what they usually do. Month out.
I think right now, because like it's still number 8, right now are good chances, because this came out last week, you said? Or was it 2? Was it last week?
It was the 7th, is that right?
So 2 weeks ago. So
2 weeks ago.
I feel like, honestly, if this was not a big hit, it would not be in the top 10 right now within over about 2 weeks. But because it's still in top 10, that's pretty impressive.
It really is. And plus, Netflix, you know, they just answer to themselves. Like, it's a streaming service. Yeah. They don't have to report the numbers if they don't want to. And because of that, and I'm not saying that this was a cheap show to make. They've got they've put special effects in this. Like there was a big old green screen of them on the moon of Jupiter. So like money is it. They got put money into the show. That being said though, like it was number 3 for a good while, at least a week. It may have been number 1 that first week. I honestly don't know, but it was making its rounds and people were talking about it. Not as much as they probably like say Army of the Dead is, or Invincible or Falcon Winter Soldier. But those two shows are shows that were able, like you start out, you know, in the beginning saying this show would not have made it week to week. No. I could agree with you on that one. And I think if they had done the week to week model, they definitely would not be getting season two. But if they had done the week to week model, they probably would have had two more episodes. They probably would have just had like a 10 episode slate and been like, all right, here we go. We get a second season. Great. We can tell more story. If not, yeah, whatever. We told the story we wanted. Because Netflix does the binge model and will probably never go away from that. That I think benefits the possibility of a season two, or as they're calling, I should say, we kept calling it seasons, volume two, because Netflix, I don't know.
Wasn't actually each episode called a volume?
No, it was each episode was called a chapter. So it's like volume one, chapter one, volume one, chapter two. But I've noticed that with a lot of Netflix shows. There was one show I just started back in like March, called Paradise PD, you know, cartoon, adult cartoon, definitely like adult animation stuff. Oh. But yeah, it's volume one, volume two, volume three, but they're technically seasons. Or like even Disenchantment from Matt Groening on Netflix. Same thing. They did volumes instead of seasons. So I don't know if that's just something that Netflix is trying to do because it's the new thing, and I don't know.
Weird, because even like shows like The Ranch, Lucifer, they'll do like part one and then like a year, half a year, maybe year and a half, then part two to finish up the season, which is like a bit odd, I feel like.
Yeah. So, I mean, Netflix, look, they've been around since 96 or however long it's been. They've been around forever. If you go watch it, you're going to watch it. If not, whatever. Like, they have their own model of doing things, and it's just what they do, you know?
Yeah.
We still sit here and watch it.
Oh, without a doubt. We still pay into it. We still watch new, old stuff. They still have our interest.
Mm-hmm. And they all probably always will. That being said, I think we've talked enough about it. Would you recommend this show to people?
I would definitely. Yes, only because, like, as I said before, the past is one that if I could only watch the past, I would. I was invested that much into the past.
Mm-hmm. Same, totally same. Same all around. I definitely would say, hey, go check it out. 8 episodes long. Like we said, the episodes range from 35 minutes. I think the longest is like 54, maybe.
Yeah. I think that was 7th episode, I think it was.
Yeah, that was the episode with the island. That was the episode where where they got the powers, it drew. That was probably my favorite episode, honestly. Just them in the past on the island. Like that gave like the most information dump of what's going on, both past and present. I watched it all over a couple days, but I honestly think you could watch it in like I keep saying, I watch the stuff at work 8 hours a day. I could definitely watch it all at work in one day. It's not very long. You could definitely binge this real quick.
Definitely. Some of the episodes, they should do fly by fast.
Yeah, definitely. So that being said, Tony, go ahead and let everybody know where they could find you on those internets.
You can find me at Twitter at WaltGear93, at Instagram at comic_discuss, where I review some comics here and there. Just a short review. I'll read either Hoopla, Marvel Unlimited, or the DC Universe app, as well as Ranger Alliance, which, as of this recording, will be on Mondays, every other Monday.
Well, actually, no, because this is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, never mind.
Give me a quick
one more week.
Yep. you guys obviously can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown. You can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Our music was done by Oh, which one is this? Oh, this one is Cam from one half of the Sex Turtles and from Wreck My Podcast. Go check them out. We've got t-shirts over at Redbubble and TeePublic. Links are in the show notes. Leave us a review on Apple Podcast or whatever podcatcher you use. We will read it on an upcoming episode. I think I might have, I got an email the other day. We had Chris on for a Man of or Superman storyline, which will be starting tomorrow. And it's the John Byrne Superman era. So
really? Oh
yeah. Like we had the Man of Steel mini years, like a year or two ago. And so it's just a continuation of that when he took over Superman and Action Comics back in 86. But on there, Chris dropped lines like, yes, and Ron will read the emails. So I got this email the other day from some random guy saying, hey, I tried to contact you the other day and you haven't responded back. Please respond. I'm gonna have him read those emails. They're just dumb, stupid things. Why not? It'll give him something to do. I believe. Yeah, definitely. One of those like sex emails. You could find me in your neighborhood over here. I'll have him read those. Sad thing is he would too.
Without doubt. Yes.
He definitely would. I think that is everything. Tony, thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate this.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You're planning to be back for the MODOK in the week?
Yes. I saw that tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm three episodes in at this moment. I will have them finished up by Saturday. I don't want to jinx myself, so I'm going to knock on some wood. I got another friend, another buddy from a different podcast that is planning on joining us for that. So cool. It'll be fun to have a three-way talk on that one because it's MODOK, like just freaking weird. I love it.
That is definitely one character which I cannot wait to see that in the MCU, like how that's done,
if they could put it, well, get Patton Oswalt, like who else are you going to get?
Like that's what that would be one of the risky characters to have. And I'm all for it.
They could try it. But yeah, so that being said, I think that's everything that we got for this episode. So have a good one, guys.
Have fun, guys.